Have you ever had a fantastic experience with healthcare? What about a not so great one? Well, here at the Alinea Life Podcast, we're going to talk about it. The Alinea Life Podcast, a production of the Alinea Collective, exists to be a public resource to you, the listener, who at some point or another has been a patient of this crazy thing we call the healthcare system. Co-hosts and doctors of physical therapy, William Mills and Joey Rossi, interview experts in the fields of physical rehabilitation, fitness, and medicine, as well as the athletes and patients, on their experiences with the good, the bad, and the ugly of healthcare. I was happy with that one.
The topics discussed in this podcast should not be considered medical advice or a means of diagnosis. If you're in need of medical attention or advice, seek a licensed healthcare professional. The conversations in the Alinea Life Podcast are intended for adult audiences only. And though we keep most topics professional, there is occasional strong language.
William Mills here. I am a doctor of physical therapy, and this is episode 10 of the Alinea Life Podcast. Today I am interviewing Dan Pope. This is episode number 7 from the Musings Tour 2018, where I went up the East Coast talking to a bunch of different awesome physical therapists. Dan is a doctor of physical therapy based out of the Boston area. He works at Champion PT. He treats a lot of CrossFit and fitness-related athletes, as well as other athletes in various sports. He's associated with Power Monkey Fitness and is a self-proclaimed meathead. His background is in collegiate sports, strongman, and CrossFit. We get right into it with a brief background of my original conversations with Jared, other co-host of the Alinea Life Podcast, and his involvement with the podcast. And then we go right into who Dan is and what he does. So hope you enjoy. Thanks for listening.
So Jared and I had been talking, and he has the duck legs, right? And,
yep.
That's the conversation in the duck legs is mostly with PTs or PT students, and it's kind of centered around PT, like educating younger PTs.
Yep.
And we were talking one day, and I was telling him the ideas of the Alinea Collective, the platform that I want to start, and how I wanted to have a podcast associated with it. So, and he had been having these similar ideas of he wants to have a podcast that's like a public education resource.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little bit broader, but still have PTs on the show.
Yeah.
As well as like patients and their patient experiences, whether it be good or bad.
Yep.
Or stories of other healthcare professionals and what they want to do to help in this whole crazy healthcare world to make it better.
Yep.
So that's kind of where this idea
is going for. Okay. Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah. So how did you get into being in the CrossFit world?
Oh, CrossFit, huh?
I know you work with Power Monkey.
Yeah. I've always been a fitness nut. Absolutely right. Loved it. Did a lot of sports in high school, and even then, I really enjoyed just training. And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of where I had my edge in comparison to other people. I just, you know, I think it was my parents probably first put this into my head, but if I could outwork people, generally it would make me a bit better. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely loved fitness, right? So it was just training, which I really liked. So I've always said I've been a meathead from the very beginning, and always trained a ton. I was a pole vaulter in college, and then when I finished up, I got involved with strongman, and I competed probably about 4 years at the national level. Really loved it, and then I ended up moving, and at that point, no one was really doing strongman anymore, but the people around me were doing some more CrossFit. So naturally, I started to do some of that, and very similar to strongman in the sense that you're just trying to lift as much weight as you can, train as hard as you can, move as fast as you can. This had an element of like cardiovascular fitness, which was kind of fun. And it was competition, and you're just with your friends working out. So naturally, that was something I ended up loving, you know. And then I got started, and from there, I decided that I wanted to try to train, and I wanted to try to work with people and get them more fit, and then also try to help these guys out from a physical therapy perspective, because at the time, I really didn't feel like there's a lot of good resources out there for people to get their injuries and troubleshoot their pain problems and get out of pain and back to training. So
that kind of sparked – did that spark your Instagram account? as well?
Oh, boy.
Or did that kind of come after?
You know, I don't really like social media very much. Never have. I don't like checking it, right? Yeah. I don't like the idea of being available for everyone at all time, having like 1,000 different things going on at once. I don't think that's good for my sanity. I started doing it just because other people were. I run my own business, and I knew this is something that, you know, we're drifting towards this realm of social media, so I have to be on top of it. I have to learn to embrace it and do a good job with it. So, I had a bunch of friends that were doing Instagram, and I didn't have Instagram on my phone. People would always make fun of me. And I decided to make my own account and just start kind of mirroring what other people around me were doing. And over the course of time, I actually grown to like Instagram. I use Facebook a little bit, too, although I like that probably a little bit less.
You have a Facebook page?
I do. Fitness Pain Free. Check it out.
Same as the Instagram handle.
Yeah, same handle there. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool. So where would you say that the CrossFit community is either excelling or lacking with, like, treating musculoskeletal issues?
Yeah. So I think I'm fortunate because I surround myself with a lot of really smart people and a lot of physical therapists that I think are really good in this community. I'm friendly with. I know about what they're trying to push out into the realm, which is great. What I will say is that from a physical therapy perspective, I think that the CrossFit community is pretty good with technique. They've done a really good job of hiring kind of the best coaches in the world, I think, to help out from that perspective. I think they understand mobility. Obviously, mobility has been huge in CrossFit. That's something that they pushed a whole lot.
Yeah.
I still think some of the areas that could use more improvement are going to be the programming and periodization from an injury prevention standpoint. I think there's a lot that we can learn from other sports we don't apply to CrossFit programming. I think we don't look at things like doing certain movements and making sure that we consistently work specific movements and also being careful that we don't have big spikes in the amount of volume we have with specific movements. That's not very good. So I think bringing that all together, and obviously some people are doing a good job. I'm not going to sit here and tell you everyone's doing a poor job, but I don't think that we've really breached that. And one of the strengths of CrossFit is there's so much variation, which is so much fun, right? Yeah. You have that competitive aspect. But it would also be a double-edged sword, and I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing these injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you a CrossFit athlete that really dreads running a 4 to 800? Because I know I am.
I did track in college, so
it's
actually one of my strengths, although I don't train it. I actually am not competitive in CrossFit right now. So probably for about the past year or so, I haven't been training at a CrossFit gym or doing CrossFit, so I think I should just let you guys know that. Obviously, I've competed in 6 or 7 years. I've coached for about the same time, so I've done a lot of CrossFit, right?
Yeah.
Running is one of those things that if you ask me to go run a 400 right now, I'd probably tear both my hamstrings, to be honest with you. Although I do a little running still, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But it's usually been a strength of mine because of that. So.
Cool. Yeah. What would you say is, so you mentioned to some degree CrossFit with the periodization and the programming. How do you think we as a collective physical therapy entity can be more involved in that world? Like, have a greater influence, like from a personal standpoint and like in the greater Boston area, have you done like outreach with different boxes to kind of get in with them or?
Yeah, and to be honest, I've tried a lot, and in a lot of ways I feel like I've failed, you know, and I move away from some of that, which is maybe not the best way to go about it, but I was a coach, obviously, and I think being an athlete and a coach are probably the two ways that physical therapists can get in there and start to really understand and see people are getting hurt, and obviously treating these people too, but actually being in the trenches and learning the trust and like going and competing and trying that and just having the full experience. So if you don't have that full experience, I think you lack what you need in order to make a change, right? The other part is that a big part of that is really falls into the programming. So I love programming. It's one of my biggest passions. I write all my own programming. I always have. I've written a lot of programming for people from a competitive perspective and an injury prevention standpoint, and also from a getting out of pain perspective, right? Bridging that gap between the two. I've also written competitive CrossFit programming for probably about 4 to 5 years. And that was a big thing that I did for a long period of time, just because I felt so strongly that that was the roadmap to allow people to train more or less pain-free, right, and not get injured. To be honest, though, it's hard. It's not sexy. Like, who wants to buy that program that says, hey, you know, don't hurt your shoulders, You know, people want that 400-pound push trigger. They want to be able to do 30 muscle-ups in a row. They don't really care about the injury prevention side of things. So I still push it, and I still sell programming, obviously, and I give programming away for free a lot for people that really need it. But yeah, I think that for physical therapists, they probably need to go about and try to push that same message. So first and foremost, becoming a coach, understanding the programming, writing the programming, seeing where these errors are, and then trying to educate other coaches about this, which I've done. I travel and speak about programming in different places. I continue to do that still. But really understanding that first, and then going about trying to influence the coaches around you, the ones that will really pick it up and understand. And to be honest, I don't think I've done the best job of doing that. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it seems like it's such a huge task and it's overwhelming. I know I've had the same similar feelings. Do you think from a programming standpoint, it needs to be more moderation in some instances? Or I know like a lot of popular injury prevention CrossFit associated things on the internet right now are more of like accessory work. Do you think as a, like on the continuum of someone's work volume, like over a month or several months, that they need to be adding more accessory work, or it just needs to be incorporated into their overall volume, and then that's the problem, is the overall volume versus, oh, I need to do more accessory work, or I need to stretch more, or yeah, I need more mobility. Sometimes I hate the word mobility because everybody just is seeking it out.
Yeah.
But sometimes people don't really know what it means. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think it, you know, the answer is going to be it depends, obviously.
Right.
But first and foremost, it depends on the person's goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is that once you've established those goals, now you have to take the steps in order to achieve those goals.
Yeah.
So in a regular gym where people are just concerned about staying healthy and being fit, and maybe losing some body fat and getting a little bit stronger, and they only have an hour to train, then obviously what you have is that hour, and the goals are going to be so specific that we can really cater that program towards that individual. And I think that if you make that comprehensive in 1 hour and the accessory work is built in, there's no need to throw more on top of that. I think the problem happens is that there's certain joints that end up getting hurt, let's say the knee or the shoulder or the low back, and if we make that joint more fit, it can handle more stress. The other part is if we're better about managing the stress in our regular programming, then we don't necessarily have that same problem, you know? So it's you can tackle it from a variety of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you have that elite level athlete, then at that point it's just so much stress and so much volume, a lot of times you'll have to inject some more accessory work.
Yeah.
And I think it depends on the individual, because you might have two very similar athletes that follow the same exact programming, and one only ends up getting shoulder pain and the other only ends up getting low back pain. So that individual that's more prone to shoulder problems, they probably need to have some more modifications to have to do with shoulder issues. And the person with low back pain obviously is going to make different modifications, have different accessory work. So when I have an athlete that comes in, let's say that's their biggest goal,
yeah,
I like the idea of doing a SWOT analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So the T portion of a SWOT analysis are threats in order to keep you from actually succeeding with your goals. And a major threat for a lot of people is pain, right? We see so many athletes that do extremely well, get hurt, and then they regress, and then they get back again, and they're doing well, and they get hurt. So a major threat to them actually succeeding is just getting hurt and having pain.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we do is we come up with a plan on how do we make sure that you don't get hurt, right? And that might be like, look, I don't want you to push jerk 4 times a week. That's too much. Let's stick with 2, and let's be really careful the total amount of volume that we're doing, right? And you can't have periods of time where you stay away from strict work. You can't stay away from rotator cuff work. You need to make sure that you keep this within your program over the course of time when you are healthy. The problem with pain, and it's funny, is that when people have pain, it sucks, right?
Yeah.
And it like flips their whole world upside down. But the second they get out of pain, they just forget that they ever had it.
Right.
And they go back to what they were doing previously. So
there's no ramp up back into it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No ramp up, or you just go back and do the same things you did before,
yeah,
right? Which is maybe too much volume for that area. And then that pain problem kicks in again, and your body's like, hey, we went down this path. Remember what happened last time? And it starts giving you some pain.
Right.
And you get an injury. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say to, or have you encountered, do you treat a lot of CrossFit athletes at Champion?
Yeah.
Yep.
Bunch of them, yeah.
Would you say that's majority of your caseload?
Oh, it really depends. So there's definitely periods of time where it's probably like up to like 80% of my caseload. Right now it's a little bit lower. It's probably like around 30 to 40%. But generally I'd say it hovers around half the people I see are into CrossFit, and I would say like another 25 to 30% of those are into fitness of some sort. Okay. So I see a lot of like runners, triathletes, people that really want to get back to being fit. You know, Champion really attracts that, so that's usually what I end up seeing.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you say is the best way that you have found to get buy-in from a CrossFit athlete that that is very highly self-educated? That's a lot of. So my buddy CJ DePalma, the movement doctor down in Pensacola, Florida, he says he sees it pretty much on a daily basis where it's like a patient comes in, they have a problem, but they already feel like they know exactly what it is.
Yep.
And because they've either seen something on the internet or read an article about it, and it's kind of like they're telling you what it is, but it's not in a way that's like building therapeutic alliance.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
I'm a big fan of motivational interviewing. You think your audience kind of understands motivational interviewing for the most part?
You could give a little synopsis on it.
Sure. So as far as motivational interviewing goes, it's a way of interacting with your patients in a way that's supportive and promotes their thoughts and try to implant the whole idea of, you know, I've kind of solved the problem. This is the direction we need to go. It's really good for building that therapeutic alliance you're talking about, establishing rapport.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer in not necessarily coming out guns and blazes and telling people, like, this is what you do or this is what's wrong, right? So if they start talking to me, you know, motivational interviewing allows people to talk a lot. So you're showing a lot of empathy. You're really truly trying to understand where they're coming from. You're listening. And then you're also repeating back different things that the patient is saying just so you establish that rapport. And then you start doing, they call them affirmations. So the things where the athlete is doing things appropriately and doing them right, you start hammering that. You say, you're doing good here, doing this well, doing this well, doing this well.
Yeah.
Right? And then you start to summarize the reflections and you're trying to come up with this. You just want to really make that patient feel like they're really truly understood.
Yeah.
And then you want to start planting some seeds in here and saying, like, okay, well, I don't know if this is right where we need to be going, or we need to alter this or change this, but we continue doing a lot of the stuff that's really effective and good, right? The problem is, and they call it the writing reflex in motivational interviewing, and if you come out and tell someone what they're doing is wrong, so I think one good example is like, oh, I know my problem is hip mobility, right? I need to work on my hips. My hips are just not loose, right? You may do an assessment on their hips, and they've got a ton of mobility, and you could automatically say, like, dude, you're really messing yourself up. You're doing the wrong thing. Your hips are, look at all this motion, right?
Yeah.
And you may be absolutely right as a physical therapist, right? And that person needs zero mobility whatsoever.
Yeah.
If you come out and tell that to someone and their expectation is to be told that they need more hip mobility, right? Or they should be having some sort of intervention. You decide, like, hey, I need to educate you about pain science, whatever it is. Yeah. That might not be what the patient wants at that time. It creates a conflict, and then they just stop seeing you.
Yeah.
Right? So it ends up being you're trying to inject little things at a time and then picking apart the things that may not be completely accurate but still pushing the positive the patient's doing, and over the course of time slowly making those changes, right? Obviously, it helps a lot if the patient is open-minded, right, and they come to you for the advice and they say, what do you think is the best pathway, right, as opposed to that very arrogant person that's hard to work with. That's how I go about it. The other thing that I've done a lot in the past few years is that if people are completely obstinate, right, and they don't necessarily want what I have to give them, I don't push that. I'm completely okay with that. I mean, there's so many people that want my help, need my help. Going down that path of trying to change someone's mind that doesn't want to be changed, I don't really care too much. I mean, early in my career, you'd see CrossFit Games athletes, oh my gosh, I really want to work with this person, you know, and they would come to you and maybe ask for a little bit of advice, but really want something specific, you know, and then you would go out of your way to help them as much as possible, and then they just forget about you completely as soon as you leave. And it goes both ways, because I think a lot of the times these CrossFit athletes that are kind of celebrity status, they get every single physical therapist, chiropractor out there is trying to work with them and say they work with them. So they get, you know, they're very careful about who they work with and who they kind of let into their private life. But it goes the other way. Like, sometimes people are just assholes, you know. You get people that are just not good individuals, and they come, they try to just take your information or say they want your information. They use you and they leave. So I am easier and easier about saying, like, I don't really care as much about those folks. If they don't want my help, if they're not going to listen to me, if they're not going to use my information, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to push it on you either.
Yeah.
So
you just kind of, it's like a take it or leave it
type of mentality. I do want to say, though, that I will bend over backwards to try to meet the patient where they are.
Yeah.
I really put a ton of effort into that before I will try to write that person off. But the other piece is that I don't continue trying to push if it's just not going to happen. Yeah. I don't force myself on people.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
What would you say your one thing that is your core mission to fix in, like, either the healthcare world or the fitness world? Like, what is one thing that if you never had to hear it being a problem again for a patient, you would be, like, you would have hit that high note for your career?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think about this a lot. You know, what kind of gives you meaning in your career? What's meaningful work? What are you trying to push towards? I think the big thing from square one is I wanted to provide really good information out there for individuals that have common orthopedic problems in the gym. Mm-hmm. And that's what I continue to write about on a daily basis. Yeah. You know, and I guess if I had everyone out there know exactly what they need to do and they have pain, I'd put myself out of business.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever going to happen per se, but one of my big missions is obviously to help the individual, right? Because I have a just big belief that there are a ton of really bad sources of information out there for CrossFit athletes or fitness athletes in general. And a lot of times these people are not necessarily, the people that are trying to sell the information, they're not educated appropriately, they're not physical therapists, they're not licensed, they aren't doing this for a living, they don't really understand the ins and outs.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's coaches and trainers, and I'm not trying to hate on coaches and trainers, but you guys don't necessarily work with these people every single day of your life.
Right.
I think it should be the physical therapists, it should be the chiropractors, it should be the doctors who are actually talking about this and trying to help people and getting people out of pain, right? Mm-hmm. The only available stuff right now, as far as I'm concerned, from a perspective of like buying a book that says, hey, I want to get out of like low back pain, is going to be probably some physician that teamed up with a yoga professional to make like a low back pain program that's not obviously specific to something like CrossFit.
Yeah.
So I want to try to help those people and then also help the therapists that are trying to learn how to help those people as well. That's kind of my big thing.
How would you, what advice would you give to like a CrossFit athlete listening to this that helps them like sift through that information that's currently out there?
Oh God, that's really tough.
Like, what are the red flags that they should be aware of, I guess?
Well, people that say they have the answer for everything. You know, I hate that. I mean,
like speaking in absolutes.
Speaking as loose, but you'll see some stuff out there where you'll go to a website and say we fix people's pain super fast. Like, you know, if you have like a rotator cuff tendinopathy, like the overwhelming majority of our research is showing like it's going to take you 4 to 6 months to get better, right? So if you come to someone, they're like, oh my God, let me just manipulate your AC joint, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, you're fixed. And that's probably not accurate or true, right? And that's a really hard sell because people don't want to hear that. And if you're trying to sell someone something, you want that quick, easy, fast, right? The other thing that's a thing that kind of personally makes me pretty upset, which can be a bit of a red flag, but not always, is practitioners that will talk shit on other practitioners.
Yeah.
I kind of hate that. So when someone comes through the door and they've worked with another practitioner and I don't necessarily believe what the practitioner was doing or it's not evidence-based or I just feel like it's just outward wrong information, I don't crap all over them. Like, we're in this together, right? I mean, I feel very strongly that we're all in this together as humanity, but especially as healthcare providers. I feel like sometimes we bicker so much about like the right way to treat people when in reality probably 90% of what we do is on the same page.
Yeah.
Right? And we just try to tear each other apart all the time. So I would say try to find someone who's very open-minded, that's been around doing this for a while, you know, that's in your community, which is good. So do they do CrossFit? Do they do powerlifting? Have they been to some of these meets? Have they been a coach? They write programming, right? That's going to be a really important thing. As far as online, that's going to be even tougher, you know?
Yeah.
I would say the same things are important, right? So like on my website, I write all about this. Like, I've been a coach for a long period of time. I've written programming for a long period of time. I've hurt myself. I always have pain. I do a lot of things that give me trouble, and I troubleshoot it on a regular basis.
Right.
I do the same thing with athletes every single day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 50% of my population are going to be a lot of these CrossFit athletes. So, I mean, I try to talk the talk and walk the walk as well.
Right.
And I think that's important to find in another individual to help you.
Awesome. Well, wrapping up, give us your info on where the listeners can find you.
All right, so my main hub is going to be fitnesspainfree.com.
Okay.
I know websites are kind of dying, but that's where I keep all of my information.
Yeah.
Right? You can also find me on social media, so fitnesspainfree for Facebook, fitnesspainfree for Instagram. I also have a Twitter account, which blasts out information, but that's probably the worst one to get me. So
Twitter.
Twitter, yeah. Good old Twitter.
You don't check that a lot?
Not too often. Someone will send me a message and like I get back to them like 2 weeks later. I'm like, sorry, I'm bad with social media.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Dan. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day for me to come on over to Champion.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening. Follow us for more content on Instagram and Facebook at The Alinea Collective and our website, thealineacollective.com. Additional platforms you can download the podcast include iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Player FM, or wherever else you get your podcasts. New episodes dropping weekly.